He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday, the start of a new week. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And this is the Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show today on this Halloween, October the 31st. And so far, we're not getting a lot of treats, mostly tricks. The Dow is down 213 points right now. It's at 32,641. The NASDAQ is down 136. That's a drop of 1.2%. The S&P is down 31 points. That's 0.8%. We've got crude oil is down 27 cents right now, down to $87.63. Gold is down $3.80 today, $16.41. Silver's down 9 cents to $19.06. Oh, they're the 10-year starting to rise again. Pretty hot inflation report out of the Eurozone this morning that we'll get to here in a bit. The 10-year is at 4.05, still quite a ways from its recent high, however. And Bitcoin today is down 261, but it's over 20,000. Bitcoin is at 20,404. Let's not forget we have the Fed meeting this week. And Wednesday could be a very interesting day in the market. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show with Bill Gunderson, professional money manager, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. All eyes on the Fed this week, Barry.
Oh, yeah. Good morning. How was your event down south?
Well, it looks like
you probably figured out that they've got a lot of debris down there.
Oh, my goodness. The debris is just unimaginable that has to be hauled away. I don't know how long that takes, but there was not a whole lot being hauled away. It's mostly just being stacked up and piled up.
Yeah. And then eventually they get it out of there. I was actually in Nashville when they had a pretty big flood, and similar. And of course, growing up in the Panhandle, kind of similar thing in terms of debris. But yeah, in terms of, you know, with that, with a flood and water inside homes, eventually, right, you got to rip the drywall out and everything else. So the debris actually piles up for a period of time before, you know. Even because more debris is being made, you know, almost every day when folks are gutting homes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, it's a mess for a while.
We made small pieces out of big pieces of trees and limbs, mostly trees, some pretty big trees down. And it was interesting. It was an interesting experience, and it's going to take a long time to clean up. Mobile homes do not hold up well in a hurricane. You know, the styrofoam and the little thin aluminum panels, they go everywhere. And
they go far.
Oh, man. So anyways, well, I felt like the market, you know, the market's big rally here recently has really been built on the story that the Wall Street Journal put out, that they felt that the Fed was going to be less hawkish in December. And now the Wall Street Journal is kind of backing away from that narrative, which I never really bought to begin with. And you had a pretty good rally in the market. You had a pretty good couple of weeks to end October, built mainly on that theory. And now that theory is starting to fall apart. So now we're kind of back to where the market was before all of that came along. And we'll see where we go from here. I would give this earnings season so far a C-. I think, you know, it's coming in at about where it was expected, which isn't very good. roughly 2% higher than the same quarter last year. But I think there's been more high-level stocks that are in the headlines more than others. Some pretty high-level missed earnings reports coming from the likes of Amazon and Meta and others. So, yeah, I think a C-minus is about the best I can do.
And downward expectations going forward, too. So.
Yeah, there's been a lot of lowering of guidance. I wasn't able to look at the numbers for next year and the year after that. I think by this Friday, we'll have a really good idea of where we're at now and how much damage has been done. I think you're going to see some more lowering of target prices and earnings estimates going forward. And, of course, the Fed's going to have a lot to say this week on Wednesday. They start their meeting tomorrow, and it will be all about what they say about future rate hikes. I don't think anybody expects them to do anything else but to do a 75-point basis hike once again. And then, you know, where they go from there, that's going to be what everybody's looking for. Okay, so they call this guy the Fed Whisperer. The Wall Street Journal's Nick Timiraos, considered to be very close to the FOMC thinking and who sparked the pivot trade with the report that the Fed will discuss smaller hikes. Well, he tempered that very narrative kind of backed off from it. And that, of course, was one of the big flames underneath the market here recently. So we'll just see where we go on Wednesday. That's going to have a lot to do. You had a big election in Brazil over the weekend. Unfortunately, they put back in Lula da Silva, who was a very far-left kind of guy. He's been the leader of Brazil before. They voted out Bolsonaro, who was more of a right, coming from the right side of the aisle, more of a economic kind of guy. But that's not who. It was 51-49, okay? So every vote counts. Every vote matters. It comes down to a really thin margin there, and the Brazil stocks are not doing all that well. Okay, here's the story that scares me the most on this Halloween. The Eurozone inflation. Now, remember, they've done a lot of rate hikes themselves here. They did a 75-point rate hike here last week. Their inflation comes in at 10.7% in Halloween nightmare for the ECB. That's an all-time high. October CPI rose 1.5% month over month to an annual rate of 10.7%. Up from 9.9 and higher than the consensus of 10.2. Now, Barry, I didn't see the report from Friday, okay? I was traveling. What happened on Friday with our
With the PCE index, the core is, you know, core area went up, which is what the Fed looks at the closest. So it was it came in the 5-point something range. I want to say 5.7-ish. But it, you know, point was, it, you know, the core is back up to kind of where it was earlier in the year, and so, you know, just shows you that that inflation, you know, isn't at worst is staying the same, right?
Yeah.
Or at best is staying the same,
and increasing still in Europe.
Yeah. Well, when you look at Europe, to me, the biggest number is the annual rise in energy cost is, you know, basically, looking at the last year, 41.9%. If you look back at what their energy costs are, other things that are big, of course, are for them are food, alcohol, and tobacco, jumping 13.1%, and it was 11.8% the month before. So you're looking at, I think the Russians just stopped some of that wheat deal from Ukraine.
That's not going to help food prices.
Right, especially, you know, global food prices in general. But, yeah, it's pretty wild.
So, yeah, I mean, we still, there's still a big question mark hanging over inflation, whether or not the Fed can do it by themselves with rate hikes and with the the speed of the rate hikes that they're going at, what impact will that end up having on the economy? With now housing, you know, a mortgage, a 30-year mortgage over 7%. The pawn shop stocks are breaking out right now. The Dollar Tree stores are breaking out. Dollar General's breaking out. And, you know, what wage gains there have been over the last 12 months have been totally eaten up and then some. And a lot of people living paycheck to paycheck, you know, a lot of people I talked to down there where we came in to help them out a little bit, that said, you know, I don't have 800 bucks to have this tree removed. We're thankful that you're here. Who's got 800 bucks? And I heard this from more than one person down there in the Florida area. Okay, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the earnings season, wheat, the Black Sea grain arrangement, and what commodities are doing after this election in Brazil. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. The Amazon.com was one of the big losers last week, and I'm just looking at it here today. It lost its trillion-dollar market cap there for a while. It is back up just barely above $1 trillion. It's not a very good chart. It seems to have support at $100 per share, right at that $100 level. And it is down another 1.8% today. On Friday, it opened with an 11.5% drop. And yet the market rallied ferociously on Friday, despite all of that. I saw a lot of short covering again on Friday. I did see some quality buying. But, you know, I think a lot of it was built on the hope for a Fed pivot. Well, we'll know Wednesday. Okay.
Yeah, so it was one of those kind of does not compute kind of rallies.
Didn't really compute.
No. I mean, Amazon at one point, I think when me and you were texting back and forth, Thursday, after the close, Amazon was down about 20% at one point.
Yeah.
And then I think when it opened back up on Friday, I think it was only down right around 10 or so. So, it's, pretty interesting when, pretty much the largest names in the, especially in the tech world, had, lackluster earnings, this quarter. I mean, whether it was Google, whether it's, Amazon, Apple, Apple probably came in with one of the better ones, and it was still pretty much a miss. Meta, the list went on and on. I think Netflix is, surprisingly was one of the more positive ones of the group. So
yeah, well, here's let's just look at Meta really quickly. I mean, I have no interest. He has just totally lost his way. Zuckerberg, that's hitting another new low again, minus 4.27%.
Maybe Elon needs to buy that one, too.
Oh, man. Well, he can get it for $259 billion. It has lost $400. Oh, it was a billion. It was a trillion.
Yeah,
that
it's
hit
lost,
a trillion.
It's lost 70, I think it's, I was reading something, lost about 70% of its value this year. So,
well, it couldn't happen to a nicer CEO than that sucker. Okay, well, wheat. Look at wheat today. W-E-A-T. That is just a solid gain there of 5.2%, eight times normal volume on that ETF. Russia backed out of a deal that they made in July. That's not good. In the coming 4 months of winter, when shortages in fuel, fertilizer, and food will be felt most acutely in Europe and in nearby areas of the Middle East and Africa, the sole window of opportunity that they had remains to the Kremlin to break the European Union's resolve to support Ukraine, said Michael Tansham of the Middle East Institute. So as long as the EU is backing Ukraine. You know, they did come forward with the wheat deal, and then there was an incident out of Crimea, and Russia backed out of the deal. So now you've got a big, big problem with Russia now once again blocking the grain corridor, which ensures food security for millions of people. That's not a good development there.
Yeah, and the backdrop is, I mean, just, you know, earlier this month, mid-month, you know, the USDA, you know, mentioned that, that wheat exports were going to be at their lowest level in 50 years. So that, you know, that's not a good sign, of course. And then you've got this, you've got this grain deal kind of ending or at least taking a pause. And now you've got, you know, the EU urging Russia to reverse, you know, the suspension. It's like, it's interesting to me, like some of these things, you read the headlines almost like, you know, like that there's a, you know, there's dialogue and actual, that Russia would actually be willing to help the EU in these situations.
Yeah, you
know,
right.
Which, I mean, you know, granted, there's a war going on. I mean, it's hard to, throw diplomacy in the certain types of diplomacy in the middle of a conflict when, you know, you're essentially on two different sides of the issue.
Yep. And here's the fallout. 176 ships loaded with grain for more than 7 million consumers are being blocked. All right. Well, you know what? Not a good situation. Then, of course, down in Brazil, which has a lot of commodities also, we'll see what he does. Bolsonaro is out and Lula will be coming in, who is a far left kind of guy, and that's on top of recent leftist victories in Peru, Honduras, Chile, and Colombia. So we'll see whether or not those areas now flourish under this new leadership, or where things just get worse and worse and worse and worse. I think we can look to Venezuela for where they're headed. EU urges Russia to reverse the suspension. Yeah, like you say, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, it sounds, I don't know. I mean, I guess you have to ask, but I mean, yeah. It just seems... you know, it seems a little tough to kind of work that out.
Okay, now they're talking about a battery metal cartel. You know, I've noticed, and there is an article in the Seeking Alpha today about the electric vehicle revolution, which is kind of stalling out a little bit. That's all I can tell you is, you know, I spent 16 hours on the road, 8 down, 8 back. Saw a lot of cars on the road. And stopped at a lot of gas stations. There's not, the infrastructure is just not even close to being there for the electric cars. And it's, the materials for the electric car are not easy to come by. There was a story this morning that Elon Musk actually considered buying a big stake in Glencore, which is a mining company. And then he was afraid about, you know, their mining practices and their carbon footprint. But they're having a hard time sourcing things like nickel and cobalt. And Indonesia is trying to put together kind of an OPEC that will control these materials. Cobalt, nickel, manganese, etc. So who knows? We'll see where that goes. But for now, I mean, 99% of the cars on the road that I saw were non-electric cars. And I've been watching a lot of these electric car stocks really get whacked here recently. The Rivians of the world, the GoEV, Konu, Lucid Group, Blink Charging. They're just getting clobbered. ChargePoint Holding. So, you know, we'll see, but right now there seems to be a little bit of a pause in all of that. Most employees live paycheck to paycheck as inflation easily outpaces wages. That's a survey done by the lending clubs. 65% of employees live paycheck to paycheck versus 60% a year ago, and that extra 5% is because inflation, you know, what extra money a lot of people had has been eaten up by, you know, the fuel they're putting in their gas tank, the food they're putting into their stomachs, etc. So it's paycheck to paycheck, 65% of the place. Okay, we'll be right back with some companies that are doing well in this environment. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I saw a lot of trucks on the road, obviously. there's no shortage of commerce going on and truck stops and truckers. And this autonomous truck situation someday may happen. I don't know. I'm not seeing any signs of it yet. There's another big scandal that doesn't help. You know, Nikola was one with Trevor Milton, the CEO there, making a lot of false claims about trucks running on water, on hydrogen.
Yeah, trucks rolling downhill is what it turned out
yes,
to be.
Yes, and he did a big high-profile IPO, and now it looks like he's headed for jail. We have another one today. I'm pretty sure that Kathy Wood's ARK Funds owned Too Simple, which seemed too simple, TSP. It almost sounds very similar to Nikola. It's a San Diego-based company. It was down 16% this morning. I just looked, and now it's down 45%. TSP is down 45% today after the self-driving trucking firm terminated its president and CEO, Xiaodi Hu, who's from China, he's Chinese, in connection with an ongoing internal investigation. It looks like they hid a lot of things from the SEC. It seems like they transferred a lot of the technology and whatnot to China. And now this company is absolutely tanking this morning, down 45% as we wait for those trucks driving down the road without any drivers in them.
Well, remember we had, you know, we still have a huge driver shortage, you know, in the country, and so one of the solutions to fill that, right, has been automated you know, driving trucks, but We'll see where that goes.
Yeah, that's a thankless job. You know, I sat in the car 8 hours down, 8 hours back. It's no fun. That's a thankless job, those guys that drive those trucks and bring the goods to us. Exxon and Chevron amassed combined $31 billion in Q3 profit on surging natural gas prices. As I looked through the earnings reports last week, I mean, they were the clear winners for sure. You had Equinor, you had Shell, you had ExxonMobil, you had Chevron. After a robust round of earnings from the oil majors.
We had a tongue lashing from Biden.
That's bringing out the calls for, it's just not fair that they're racking up these big profits, on the backs of the consumer. But, at the same time, they've been through a lot of lean times.
Yeah, it's it's supply and demand. It's hard to get mad. I mean, you know, unless you're intentionally, shaping the price of, you know, whatever you're selling, right, illegally, it just seems, you know, impossible to get mad at a company for making a particular profit, especially where, you know, you're telling them, hey, don't pay a dividend to the investors, you know, give it back to the consumer. It's like,
yeah,
that's not really it's not really kind of the system that we work under.
Yeah, I mean, the investors have taken risks too by investing in the companies through thick and thin. For years, the energy stocks were some of the worst.
Especially the bigger ones. I mean,
for
the bigger
years,
you were,
horrible to invest in.
Yeah.
And now they've created this climate where there's this war You know, I just can't imagine. I mean, all the gas stations, is there's very little difference between the prices that they I can't imagine there's more. I don't know how much profit. How much are they paying for unleaded versus what they're selling it for? It seems like it's pretty uniform across the board. Either they're all cheating and in on this, or they're just scraping out, you know, a few cents per gallon. Doesn't really matter what the price. They're going to make their 1 or 2 cents, whatever it is. But, of course, the oil companies, you know, they've sold a lot of oil at losses and, you know, break even for years. And now they've
divested. I mean, they've divested a lot of, especially your larger, you know, your larger conglomerates. I mean, they've divested a lot of their assets because of the fact that, they just weren't making money.
No, yeah, they've had to get into wind and solar and battery storage and all kinds of things. Okay, the other big the big story that I heard over the weekend, I heard it a lot from, you know, just listening to truck drivers and whatnot. There's a coming diesel shortage. Diesel is back over $5 per gallon pretty much everywhere I looked. And there seems to be a coming shortage that's going to be pretty severe, especially on the East Coast of the U.S. So there's something else to cheer up your day, a coming diesel shortage that could really be crippling. Okay, here is a biotech on the move today, ATNM, a leukemia drug. Wow, look at that little stock go. ATNM it broke out actually a week ago, and then broke out again, broke out on Friday. Now today it's up another 12.3%. on big volume. That's one to keep an eye on. Let's see. For the top line, the Sierra drug trial met the main goal as those who received blah, blah, blah. It's a leukemia drug. So anyways, we're always rooting for these biotech companies who also are, you know, boom or bust. They're really boom or bust. You either come up with something.
Zero. Yeah, it's a zero or a. It's like
all or
language.
Nothing.
It's a zero or a one.
Okay, and then a Canadian oil company had a big report. IMO, that stock broke out big time on Friday. It's Exxon's sister company up in Canada, Imperial Oil, that's involved in the oil sands. And then you've got today a company that mines coal having a big day. SXC is breaking out. It's up 7% today. So as far as the earnings season goes, last week was a very big week. I would call that the heart of earnings season. But this week also will be a very big week. By the time we get to Friday, most of the really big high-profile reports are going to have been are now in the books. So I would say by this Friday, we're going to have a really good look. You know, all of these companies are commenting on not only, you know, how their quarter went, but also on what they're looking for in the coming quarters. And now as we end, we're just 2 months now before we start a new year, and 2 months into the or 1 month into the fourth quarter of 2022, we're going to have a really good handle on what 2023 and 2024 are shaping up, how they're shaping up and what they're looking like. And we can set some pretty good solid target prices after this week of earnings. I've just seen an erosion. There's been a pretty steady erosion. The last time I saw this kind of erosion, you got to go back to 07 and 08, which led up to the 08-09 big drop in earnings and the 53% sell-off in the S&P 500. You know, we're only like down 20% right now on the S&P 500. So there's a lot hanging on the earnings estimates the rest of this week, or the earnings reports the rest of this week, and how the earnings estimates, where they finally settle after all the dust settles, where are those earnings estimates, how reliable are they? And I think after we get the Fed's take on Wednesday about inflation, because don't forget, inflation would continue to eat away at those earnings going forward. I think this is a very, very big week. Then, of course, next Tuesday we have a big election. And so there's a lot in the next next 10 days or so. We're going to have a really good idea about the future of this market. In the meantime, I mean, we're just there has not been a sustainable rally since the beginning of the year. And it looks like maybe this recent one is already petering out because the narrative that it was built upon, the Fed becoming more dovish, really was not that reliable to build a rally upon. And the real Fed will report this Wednesday. So we're going to just continue to take advantage of opportunities that I see coming along. I sent out the report this morning. I'll have a lot of fresh names for tomorrow as I go through my database really carefully today after last week's big rally. So if you want to get on our mailing list, GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. If you want to set up an appointment with us, during these very active times in the market, you can go to GundersonCapital.com or call us at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go. Do what you want to go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Today it's Best Inverse Funds for sure that are leading the way. And I'm also seeing the oil stocks start to kind of perk up a little bit here this morning. Okay, so from the inverse funds, China is back getting hit again today. Last Monday, it absolutely got clobbered, did China. And the three times inverse China, WANG, is up 6.4% today, hitting a new 52-week high on very heavy volume. Well, China continues to have their just absolutely strict zero tolerance policy on COVID. That's not helping their economy. And at the same time, you know, they've got the new boss, the same as the old boss, is in place. And all the reformers are gone, and it's going to be hardline communism in China. And we'll see how that works out for them. But they're stock market is just getting crushed here recently. It did have a little comeback on Wednesday, midweek last week. And now you've got Yang hitting a new all-time high again today, or 52-week high at 37.57. It's up 6.4% today.
And I saw where we've got you got folks locked down in Shanghai Disneyland again. So
in Disneyland?
Yeah, yeah. But so it's not the first time. I'm not sure, you know. Christina was like, she's like, that's not, doesn't sound like a bad place.
If you
got to
be locked down, as long as I'm not inside that, you know, it's a small world after.
Right, yeah, that
happened to me one time in Anaheim.
I've been stuck in that thing before.
That song will drive you nuts.
Eventually it will, yeah.
The fourth time through, you're going crazy. You do anything to make that song stop.
You swim out of there, right?
But I suppose if you got to be locked down, you know, there's plenty of cotton candy and stuff that you can live off of. Sox is back on the – yeah, you know, that's all I can say is a lot of these inverse funds, they got hit hard last week. Now they've pulled back considerably. And the narrative that was driving them lower, that all of a sudden the Fed's going to be less hawkish, they're going to be dovish in November or in December, and now that story is kind of falling apart. You know, some of these inverse funds could be sitting pretty right now. SOXS is three times inverse. The semiconductor industry, which has been hit from all kinds of different angles here recently, including China, the China angle, and that's and the big slowdown in PC growth and buying and purchasing. So that's that one's doing well today. And also, obviously, Fanged had a big week. How much lower can it go? Well, that's a pretty good chart on FNGD. And consider that Facebook, which is now known as Meta, is hitting a new 52-week low today. Consider that Amazon has given up its trillion. Well, it's just right there on the trillion line. Can it hold 100? If Amazon breaks below 100, I just think things are going to get harder for Amazon. It seems like their expenses are increasing. The shipping costs are increasing. There's more overhead. Now they're becoming more of a FedEx or more of a UPS. Yeah.
And if you think about the business, if you think about some of the businesses they're in, they're very capital intensive. I mean, they make shows similar to Netflix, which is a very expensive endeavor. Like you said, they're selling products and shipping them, and those costs are going up. They're investing in new technologies a lot of times, right? I mean, they come up with a lot of almost how Google used to come up with, you know, Google Glass and all these other different things, right? And, you know, it's just it's one of those things where they've got their hands in a lot of different stuff. And you know, really, the AWS, the data warehousing, has really been the biggest source of growth for them.
Absolutely. And now you see all these Amazon delivery vehicles. I see more Amazon delivery than I see UPS and FedEx. So, anyways, I think it's becoming much, much more labor-intensive. Their margins are going to continue to shrink. Now on the long side, okay, one from my trading list breaking out today, Tidewater. That's in the oil services business. Oil and gas services continues to be a very, very good sector. I mean, here's a sector. You talk about the ebb and flow of the oil industry. These drilling and rig companies, really, since the Gulf oil spill, Tidewater has lost money for the last 7 years in a row of losses, hanging on by a thread. Now all of a sudden, you know, their stuff is in demand. Their offshore support vessels and marine support services to the offshore industry worldwide, especially in Europe. And now the stock is starting to go gangbusters after barely surviving. It got down to a dollar. I think it went into bankruptcy in 2017, was trading below a dollar, and now it's up to $35 per share. It's up 6% today. And also another one, NOV, which used to be Varco, National Oil Well Varco. Then they changed the name to NOV. They've lost money for the last six or seven years also, almost went bankrupt, lost $16 per share in 2019. Now they're finally turning the corner into profitability. This stock's up 5.2%. So a lot of stocks in my best idea trading list, potential trading list, swing trades. I'm not talking day trades, but you know, if you can get 5 to 30% maybe out of these stocks over the next several days or several weeks, that's what we're kind of going for. You can go through the list yourself. You'd be surprised at how many really good performers. I mean, I'm narrowing down my database of 60, just over 6,000 to about 60. So you're looking at and they've been hand-selected by me after looking at the charts and saying, hey, this thing could be poised for something here. You can get that list at GundersonCapital.com. I'm sending it out every morning about an hour before the market opens. And if you'd like to talk to us about active, not passive management, you can give us a call at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. All right. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.